Now, we're going to open today with the Ukrainian refugee crisis. Minister Roderick O'Gorman said yesterday that there has been a fall in the number of Ukrainian refugees arriving in Ireland in the last 2 weeks. That's after the Ukrainian embassy highlighted the pressures on accommodation here. However, in County Mayo last night, a public meeting was held in order to discuss refugee numbers at a local hotel resort. Councillor Michael Kilcoyne, Las Comhairleach of Mayo County Council, was at that meeting, and I spoke to him just before we came to air.
Well, over the last number of months, there has been a centre for refugees and people coming from international trouble spots of the world set up at Brafey. And initially, it was mainly people from Ukraine who had been coming in here. And they were very welcomed by the people and by everyone who wanted to help out people who were caught up in a war zone. So over the last number of weeks, then people from the International Protection Centre came in. So now you had up close to 600 people living in that area. And it could well be seven. But there was always a question from the local community as to what exactly impact it was going to have on them. In other words, how many was there going to be? How is this going to affect things like the schools, transport? How are these people going to get in and out of town? Because Brafey House or the Brafey hotels are located about, I suppose, 2 kilometres, 3 kilometres outside the town.
Outside the town of Castlebar.
Outside the town of Castlebar. So when this started, there was no information briefing being given to the local community. It is its own church, its own GA club, all of the usual places that a community has. However, there was no plan put in place by, I would say, the department to feed the people the information on what was happening. People were eager to help the community.
This meeting last night, who called it?
A local group from Brafey. I received a text and an email inviting me to this meeting, which was to discuss the situation about what was happening in Brafey. People were told, including I was told myself, not to attend this meeting, that this meeting was being organised by a French group. Myself and the Deputy Cathaoirleach, Councillor Gavin, attended this meeting last night. We were at it for over an hour because we both had to go to another meeting that we had to attend. This was a meeting at which there was many people from Brafey, and they were asking totally reasonable questions like, how long are these people going to be here? What's the plans for them? Is there any implications for our hospitals? What's going to happen in relation to our doctors? Woman tells the story of how she contacted her doctor and she had to wait 5 days to get an appointment.
How many people would have been there, Michael?
There would have been about 180 in my estimation.
That's quite a substantial gathering.
Many of these people I knew because they're my local constituents.
Can I just ask you, because I know there were some concerns that there would be maybe people attending or people organising that would have, you know, anti-migrant agendas, if I can put it that way.
There was very little of that. There was very little of that.
Was there some of that? Was there some?
There was some of it. There was some from every side there.
So there were some contributions that.
Yeah, there were some contributions to which I wouldn't support or to which I wouldn't subscribe.
Did you take a political risk going along to this meeting then? If the advice was don't be seen there.
But the only people I take advice from is the electorate, the people who vote for me. People are entitled to get information. And I certainly was looking for information, the same as many others, because I've asked, along with other councillors at Mayo County Council meetings, questions about what's happening, what's the plans, what impact has it on all of the services that are provided. And I couldn't get any answers. And I'm thirsting for answers, and I'm prepared to go anywhere to meet any group to get answers. Everyone, in my view, has the right to ask any question they want. They're entitled to information and they haven't got it.
But I suppose they're not going to get any information at a meeting like that because there was nobody available to them there to answer their questions.
But there doesn't seem to be anybody available anywhere to answer questions. Nobody to answer the questions. What's the implications for the hospital, the schools, local roads, all of that kind of stuff? The information isn't being given to the community. If you bring people into a community, 600 or 700 people, and you transform the numbers in that community, then people are entitled to the opportunity to ask questions, but more importantly, to get answers on what the plans are, and then you develop a plan accordingly for the area.
And that was Councillor Michael Kilcoyne on that meeting last night in response to the placing of 700 Ukrainian refugees and people seeking international protection in Brafey Woods Hotel and Sports Arena. And we just should clarify, that's a sister hotel but separate from the Brafey House Hotel, which continues to operate as normal. Now, let me introduce my political panel. In studio, I have Eoin O'Brien, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and party spokesperson on housing, local government and heritage, and Verona Murphy, independent TD for Wexford. And from the BBC Radio Foyle studio in Derry, I'm joined by Charney McConnellogue, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and Fianna Fáil TD for Donegal. Minister, if I can go to you first. You were listening to Councillor Kilcoyne there giving his account of that meeting last night. A strong sense, clearly, that resources are under pressure and that people, the community there, has been kept in the dark. Now, I know your constituency would have one of the highest concentrations of refugees outside of Dublin. Would you be hearing similar things on the ground there?
Well, I think that there's no doubt that it has been a massive task, Katie, and it's the response of the Irish public has been tremendous, and communities right across the country, particularly my own county and also counties like Mayo, but right across the country. And it has been responding to an emergency situation from March last and the response to the invasion. And over the course of that few months, we've seen almost about 60,000 Ukrainians actually provided with refuge and safety and shelter and home here in Ireland over that time. It has been a learning process, though, and it continues to be a learning process for all of us, for the government as well as for communities. We absolutely accept that information is really important to the public, and we work to provide that and to improve in that.
You would hear this from many communities around the country, that they don't feel that they have been consulted or even told about what's coming their way before people are moved into their area.
That has been the nature of the challenge, because as people have been arriving into the country in very, very desperate circumstances, the immediate priority has been to work to provide safety and shelter and home and services for everyone. And that has been a difficult challenge. And really, it's put everybody under pressure. And communities have stepped up very strongly to do that. As things are starting to stabilise and the numbers are much less now than what they would have been at the outset, it is going to be important that in terms of the services that are in place, the school services, the health services, that there's every effort made to work to assess the pressure that's there and to ensure that in relation to how we operate the placement of those who need a home and need shelter, that we integrate that as much as possible. It has been a challenge. There's no two ways about it, Katie, over the last period of time, and there's going to be a particular focus on that now.
Sorry to cut across
learning
you.
From the last few weeks and months as we go forward.
Okay. Sorry to cut across you, Minister. I just wanted to ask if you agreed with your colleague, your Fianna Fáil colleague, the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. He's called for the suspension of the number of Ukrainian refugees arriving into Donegal, saying Donegal is now saturated with refugees and that this is leading to unsafe accommodation in places and strains on services there.
Well, there has been a pause in relation to Donegal over the last few weeks, particularly to assess the challenge with services. Donegal has been one of the counties that have stepped up and provided home to Ukrainians, and the community has been very, very welcoming. But there is that challenge there in relation to how we match.
Do you agree,
the need for school places
with health
services,
that Donegal is saturated with refugees?
I think the Donegal has really responded very strongly, and when you look at the proportion in the county compared to other parts of the country, it's very strong. So as we now work to try and ensure that we place people in the best way possible, it's important that services are available to everyone, that the school places that are there, that there are health services that are there.
But what's the plan,
and that we fully
Minister?
Assess that, and that's what the Department of Children really are working to do. Yeah, and I know in Donegal, for example, in terms of education services, in terms of health services, that they're working together to assess the pressures there, and also then to try and plan that into how we step forward. And that's what's happening.
Do you feel today that there's a plan in place to deal with this?
I think the plan has been evolving, Katie, and necessarily so, because it has been a real, real challenge, and I think everyone understands that, and communities have responded very strongly in that spirit. And, you know, we have to remember how it evolved. And, you know, in the last two or three days, I've been watching and listening very carefully to the emerging battles in Kherson, as, you know, the Ukrainian forces have sought to take that back, and the retaking of Kherson that has happened in the last day or two. And, you know, that has struck a chord with me, and I'm sure for the 60,000 Ukrainians that are in the country, you know, that is, their hearts are very much at home and with what's happening. They didn't choose to be here. They're here because they want to stay safe. They're away from their families, their relations. I know ultimately for many of them, and for the what their plan will be whenever it's safe, is to actually be able to return to their home country. But our objective has been to respond to that humanitarian crisis. Okay. And it has been the largest we have seen since the Second World War, the largest displacement of people on the continent of Europe. And I think as a country, we've worked hard to address that challenge as best we possibly can.
Let me just put that to our guests here in studio. Eoin O'Brien, it is the largest arrival of refugees.
It absolutely is. And we also need to keep in mind that we don't just have Ukrainians. We also have people coming in from other conflict parts of the world into the international protection system, and there are very significant challenges for those people as well. First of all, it is absolutely right that as a country we provide people with refuge from war and conflict and persecution, and we want to work with the government on that, and we've been as cooperative as we can. My experience, however, and I represent a constituency that has a direct provision centre, City West is in my constituency, as you know, the Red Cow, and the Department of Children have recently converted an old SIAC, a commercial building, into a temporary centre for people applying for asylum, about 250 adults and children. My experience in the constituency has been that people on the ground, local people, want to do the right thing. Local people want to be generous. Local people want to open up their homes and their communities. But there is a palpable sense of uncoordination between various government departments. So, for example, when Dulcon House was being transferred into the International Protection Accommodation Service for asylum applicants, we met with Roderick O'Gorman. And the first thing I asked him was, so what's your communication plan? The department had taken the decision to use this facility. We had to have somewhere safe and secure for these adults and children. I was willing and I continue to work with the government to support them on this. And he had no communication strategy. And the difficulty is, if there isn't a communication strategy when you're taking these emergency decisions, a vacuum opens up in the community and all sorts of things are
possible.
Has
there been meetings? Have you heard of other meetings like this one in Mayo last
night? Yeah, so for example, last night in my own constituency, now I was unable to attend. It was organised by a residents association specifically about the issue of what's called Dulcon House. Now, I've met with some of the residents and spoken to them, and the information we get, we give to the local community. But it is reasonable for people to say that if, for example, you're opening up a new facility or centre, and if it's 50, 100, 200 or 300 people, it is reasonable for people to say, well, the government should engage and at least tell the local community what's going on. And people have very reasonable questions. And the kinds of questions people will say is, OK, that's fine, but how will it be managed? What kind of facilities will people have, including the residents, by the way? And the usual questions then are about GP services, school services, public transport. Yeah. And what I've found is an incredible lack of coordination between Roderick O'Gorman's department, who I actually think is working very hard on this, and not the same level of cooperation with his department coming from the departments of housing, health and education. And that lack of coordination centrally by ministers and departments is having an impact on how these things are being managed on the ground.
You'll accept, though, it is an emergency
and a fast-evolving
situation.
Be very clear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that communities should have a veto, for example, on the provision of emergency accommodation, particularly given the scale of the crisis. But they do have a right to be engaged in the conversation as things are happening. They do have a right to ask reasonable questions, and not just questions about the impact on them.
But what happens if they don't like the answers?
I think that's where we as political leaders step in and step up and make the case as to why we need to do this at this time. Okay. But in fact, my experience is when people are brought into the conversation and when people's legitimate questions, both about the living conditions of the refugees themselves and local communities, people will do the right thing. They just need to be worked with.
Well, a message into the programme. Katie, Ireland has made a noble effort to accommodate Ukrainian and other refugee groups, and rightly so. But there is no shame in saying to the world that we have reached our limit.
And I think
Verona.
That's exactly it. We are overwhelmed. And we were overwhelmed before the Ukrainian war with a housing and homelessness issue. And I think, just like Eoin has said, I'm coming from County Wexford. We have, I'm both in Rosslare and Hookless Village. Hookless Village is a holiday village that houses 300 Ukrainian persons between families and individuals. And we have an association called the Hook Peninsula Friends of Ukraine, who have for months now written to the department to ask for a facility to be provided an indoor facility where this grouping of people can congregate. We have doctors coming to Hookless Village who are working from their car. We have school children who go to school, and it's actually been hugely beneficial for the area, the amount of Ukrainians coming into our schools. It's actually given us a great lift, and it's very positive. There's several schools have Ukrainian families and children. But the reality is that beyond transport to school, there is no semblance of normal life. Hook Peninsula is quite far in southwest County Wexford. Doesn't have a supermarket that you could walk to. It doesn't have any facility that you can get to. And 300 people would take 6 buses. And as a community, we are asking for the support to include these people. Remember now, we're coming to Christmas. It's really, you know, such a sentimental time for people to be displaced. And not just Ukrainians, but all international migrants as we look at it. But the reality is we are overwhelmed. The minister,
when you say we are overwhelmed, are you saying we need a cap then?
I'm saying that I don't know. Can we introduce a cap? The reality is the minister says today that we are nearing, you know, it's going to fall off with what's happened in Kherson. Last week interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, a minister who said that we expect to have at least 15,000 more Ukrainians prior to Christmas. The reality is we cannot cope with that. And I had someone come to me on Friday, someone who has a hotel available that made it known to IPAS and have had no communication from IPAS for 8 months. None.
The reality is,
Katie, there is a break in communications, a breakdown in communications between all the stakeholders. And that's transpiring into a lack of communication to communities.
Can I bring you back in, Minister? And just in relation to, again, going back to your own constituency, your own county there, Donegal, Mayo as well will come into this. And Kerry, of course, comes into this. That we know that there is a huge volume of refugees have been placed in these counties because, of course, we know there's a lot of hotel accommodation in the off-season in these counties. But we also know that those hoteliers will want to, you know, crank up the tourist season come March and April. Like, what is the plan? Where are we going to put these now thousands of people? I think over 9,000 people between Donegal and Kerry alone.
Yeah, well, that is going to be a challenge over the months ahead, and one of the things that the government is considering very strongly how we manage that, because of course we're hotels and that have stepped up to the mark and stepped up very well in relation to meeting this challenge. There's no obligation on them to continue that medium long term. There isn't, in listening to Owen and Verona there isn't a perfect way to deal with a crisis and emergency such as this. It does challenge everyone, and I think everybody has worked really hard to respond to that. Most of all, the community is concerned, but now, and I mean, as we know, it's a war. It is a war response, and people have done their best in relation to it. But there are challenges in the system, ones that the government are very much aware of, ones that which people are working flat out.
Can we go back to that question though, of where those thousands of people are going to have to go if they can no longer remain in our tourist hotels?
I think we will, in terms of where people are at the moment, an effort will be made to try and maintain where it's possible accommodation for those, but also to look at new options. And I know across government,
what would that then do to the economies of counties that are very heavily reliant on tourism?
That's something that we're considering as well. So, you know, we're looking at other buildings, we're looking at things which can be done in the more, you know, the short to medium term, which can provide transition for those who will be moving. And the other thing we have to consider as well is, you know, those who have settled down in local areas now and who've gone to schools. And listen, you know, I attended the concert of my own school there, which my own kids are in there last week, and that, you know, met some of the Ukrainian parents of the students who were attending there, people who are settled in areas and who are involved, and you know, they being considerate of that as well. Now, that's all a big challenge.
Can I ask you about
it? It's one the government is very much
indeed
aware of,
and can I ask
and
you
one
about
which we're actually working together to try and address
and plan. And one of the plans, of course, is to accommodate some of these families in modular homes. We know the minister, Roderick O'Gorman, is saying he's hoping to have 500 modular homes by March. Hoping doesn't really sound that optimistic in the current circle, and given that we know how communities can respond to hearing that modular homes are going to be built in their area.
Yeah, well, again, less reflective of the challenges there. Everyone is doing their best.
Do you know anything more about that?
If the minister could wave a wand and absolutely guarantee something, he would. We all would. But we have to make the very best effort we can to plan ahead. One of the things which has potential in that regard is the option for modular homes in relation to meeting the challenge around providing refuge for Ukrainians, as well as indeed being able to respond in terms of the housing challenge we have ourselves.
Do you think they will be built, though?
Strategy which we're stepping out
sorry,
for.
Minister, I'm sorry to keep speaking over you, but I'm just very conscious of the time. Yeah. I'm just saying, do you believe we will have 500 modular homes by next March or April?
I certainly hope so as well. I know every effort has been made to step that out, Katie, as has been every effort made to actually get to the situation where today we have 60,000, you know, Ukrainians provided with a home and shelter and services in a situation where, you know, we already had pressures in the system. So we'll continue to do that.
Okay, just very quickly.
Nobody's asking for a perfect response. What people are asking for is a better response. And for example, if you take those people who are in the international protection system, that's a crisis that's been growing for 4 years. We actually have, of the 16,000 people in direct provision and other facilities, 4,500 of those shouldn't even be there. They should have actually left because they've got their leave to remain, their legal right to be here, but they can't get out of direct provision because of the housing crisis. We actually have more international protection applicants in hotels and temporary buildings than we have in direct provision. And likewise with the Ukrainians, at the very start of this crisis, the Irish Refugee Council made very detailed and very sensible proposals to government about how to put in place short, medium and long term accommodation solutions. Some of those haven't been even tried, particularly the proposals around licence agreements for holiday homes. If you take the modular, like we were initially told by Roderick that we would have those 500 modular units this side of Christmas. My understanding is contracts were signed sometime between August and September, and there has been enormous delays. Likewise with the Department of Housing.
Because there's protests, and you know that that's what happens when it comes to modular homes.
That is not the reason for the delays. So, for example, in Mahon and Cork, they're doing groundworks at the moment. But again, if you take the issue of large buildings that were to be refurbished, the Department of Housing and local authorities dragged their heels for far too long. We still don't know the progress on that. So I don't accept that there's an adequate level of coordination between the departments. And the big losers in this are people who aren't being provided adequate accommodation and support.
Verona, you have an idea of a potential solution for some people.
It's not my idea, but it is an idea that has been presented to the department, and that is where other countries, particularly Scotland, and I know that the department have engaged on this, is that there would be cruise liners brought in to our major ports, in which case cruise liners are built in such a way that they're built for recreation. And I think, speaking with the Ukrainian population myself, they need recreational areas. They need to integrate. We currently don't have that facility, even in hotels. There's nowhere for them to actually live. They are in rooms. They have a roof over their head, and they are extremely grateful. But even my community...
Now, you know, this idea was suggested 20 years ago and rejected broadly.
No, I didn't. All I know is that the minister has told me that they've looked at it. Scotland are very happy with how it's working. But all I want to say is this. We as a community in Wexford, we ourselves feel like we're letting people down by not being able to facilitate them outside of just going to school.
Okay, we have to leave that one there. We'll take a break.